Hey guys, happy Friday and welcome to another episode of TGIF. So don't mind me. I was at another event earlier today. I'm hosting this like 90s explosion event in my hometown of Providence, Rhode Island, and they kept giving me drinks. So I just want to issue a disclaimer right now that I'm as drunk, I'm as buzz as Funky Don Eva is when he goes down to the bar with the Hana Crosby. So, anyways, with that being said, welcome to TGIF. Listen, we're gonna go through a whole bunch of hot topics and all that's trending, all the stuff that you little shady people on Instagram are talking about. So, without any further ado, let me introduce my fabulous co-host. Please welcome multimedia personality and talk show host Funky Don Eva. Why is that still funny?
What's going on, Claudia?
Hey, boo. And please welcome brand strategist and OnlyFans thoughts, Al
What's
Reynolds.
up, Claudia?
Hey, how you doing? How was y'all week?
It was long. A
Long and
drunk.
hard?
Ooh, put away wet. You starting
Mm-hmm.
already.
Rolled
Keep
long and
going.
hard and put away wet. My weekend was a drunken blur.
So I saw you got your Instagram page back and you got Kenny on your Instagram page. Now, Kenny is the reason why your Instagram page got shut off because I believe you
Part
posted of
him
the
on your
reason.
page, busting it wide open. And then I saw him on your page with the waist trainer on, but the waist was refusing to be trained.
Everybody loves Miss Kenny. And she loves when she get a couple drinks in her, she loves rolling what I call her kiki down to the bar all on the ground. And this just created this whole comedy series because Howie, the bar owner, is just completely disdains Kenny rolling around on the ground, running off the customers. But Kenny does not care. He puts on full burlesque shows, and the people on social media love it. And here's a fun fact. Because of my Instagram, a casting director reached out to me, saw Kenny, and actually cast Kenny in the City Girls video because of
What?
that. So
Wow.
you never know where being your authentic self will get you. He's in the City Girls video Jobs and has a talking part, a speaking role, and everything.
What? Shout out to Kenny. So Al and I are planning on visiting Funky Don Eva in Miami. So we're gonna plan a weekend. It's either gonna be Miami or maybe a Vegas weekend or maybe both. So I gotta meet Kenny. I gotta meet
Make it
Kenny.
happen. I will make it happen.
Now, Al Reynolds, how was your week?
Listen, my week was way too long, working way too hard, but we got through it and I'm gonna turn up this weekend. I need it. And the pool is open. DC's open today, to DC open tonight. Finally, our pool in
Oh,
the
good.
complex is open. So it's about to be a hot boy summer for me.
Hot by summer, huh?
So Al, you going out tonight? Absolutely.
Al, are you in a relationship? Are you dating anybody? Are you having relations with anybody?
Nope.
Because,
Single
like,
and mingling.
a
Al, we
lot
still
of
have not figured out who this white man is that's always at your house.
Who is the white man now?
He's the lighting guy. Why do you guys keep asking me the same thing over and
So you
over?
have just a lighting guy, like not he that's all he does is lighting.
Well, he's the lighting guy, but he's also a realtor. But I replaced him because I got a new guy now, which we were working on some new things, but it didn't work. So we weren't able to use the new guy
Let me
today.
tell you why it doesn't work. You
Why?
gotta get someone that's is specific to that thing you need. And Q, you can feel me on this, okay? You ever go to the hood and it's got donuts and dry cleaning? One of them are not gonna be good. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not in even the same wheelhouse. So Al, who is this friend? Is this someone that you just want to like throw a little few bones to, or one bone to?
Claudia is ready today. Interesting. Okay. No, it's strictly professional, 100% strictly professional.
Okay,
I just don't
anyway.
understand how the rest of us are getting by with a ring light and a lamp with a standard GE light bulb, 100-watt light bulb, and you got a whole staff back there.
How's the Q? How's the lightest one guy? The lightest guy here have a whole lighting team, and his lighting is it's okay. It's not fantastic. It ain't no like, oh, it's amazing.
I'm mad at that. I know we're gonna get it together. We're gonna get it right sooner than later. I promise you, it's gonna get better.
So cute. We Al and I called you. We were blowing up your phone the other day, and people were like, "What's the good news?" So there is some good news, but we're not going to disclose it tonight. But there is some news that we will disclose down the line. So in the comments in YouTube, y'all can put in the comments what you think it may or may not be. I will say that Dineva might be buying a Range Rover after this. I'm just saying.
That was the conversation we had. Yeah, I just might be buying a Range Rover to complement the M440i convertible.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. We talk in the group chat, and you said you don't think we should announce what the announcement is. But let me just tell you, it's a good thing. And with that being said, let's get into the show. Before we get started, we want to send our condolences to the family and friends and loved ones of comedian Paul Mooney. He was 79 years old and one of the most funniest comedians that has ever hit the stage, and so controversial and so bold. So thoughts and prayers go to him. He passed away this week. What do y'all remember about Paul Mooney's comedy, and how do you feel about the loss of Paul Mooney?
So, I got a question, and I know it's an inappropriate question. They say you're not supposed to ask, but do we know how he passed?
Yes. He had a heart attack at his home.
Okay.
That's how he passed.
Okay. I saw a clip today that was floating around on Facebook that I connected with when an interviewer was asking Paul Mooney about some of the controversial things that come out of his mouth. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he was saying that basically the things that come out of his mouth surprises him, and that fear is something that he does not have. And he said he has not been fearful since he was 7 years old. And he was like, I'm even surprised at some of the things that come out of my mouth, but I tell it how I feel it. And me being Funky Dineva Ross, I really connected with that on a deep spiritual level, because that is me wrapped up in a nutshell. I get complimented and I get praised so much for keeping it real or giving straight talk. And I don't understand why something that comes so natural that everybody should be able to do doesn't happen for everybody. So I really connected to Paul Mooney, actually for the first time when I saw that video.
Paul Mooney also, I went to a roast of Paul Mooney back in LA when I still lived out there, and it was so funny. What I like about Paul Mooney is, he goes way back. I think he wrote a lot for Eddie Murphy, I believe. Or Richard Pryor, I'm
Richard
sorry,
Pryor.
Richard Pryor. And, at a time where black comedians, I basically Richard Pryor was like the main guy that was out there. And he was so pro-black. He's maintained that his whole career. He didn't temper that down. He didn't whitewash himself. He didn't ease up off the gas. He kept the same energy his entire career. And he went hard for black America. And I really want folks to really take a moment to respect that, because in this business, when you start getting to a certain level, people want to like, oh, maybe you shouldn't say this, shouldn't say that. The big wigs are looking. He gave zero FUXs, and I love how committed he was to his position. That's what I got to say about Paul Mooney.
Let me tell you how great Paul Mooney was in my mind. Remember, Paul Mooney went from being a ringmaster in a circus. That was his job when he moved from the East Coast to the West Coast in Oakland. So he went from being a ringmaster at a circus, and it was being that ringmaster at the circus that got him the writing job for Richard Pryor. Now, the most exciting thing to me that I think about when I think about him, he was also a writer for Red Fox. He did Sanford and Son. He was a writer for Eddie Murphy. He wrote for In Living Color. He wrote for The Chappelle Show. He discovered and gave opportunities to people like Robin Williams, Sandra Bernhard, Marshall Warfield, John Witherspoon, and Tim Reed. This guy is a culture curator. And this guy arguably is one of the most, I would say, brilliant people in the comedy game. Unfortunately, like you said, some of his brashness was taken out of context. He was just a brilliant genius, and he's done a lot of great work. And you asked the question, you said, what do you remember him by? I remember him by In Living Colors, Homie the Clown. You remember that? Y'all remember Homie the Clown on In Living Color? He was actually the person that came up with that character for Marlon Wayans.
He's hilarious.
Yeah,
My bad. I'm not home, you guys. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Lord, Claudia, had way too many cocktails. We don't say rest in peace. Rest in peace to Paul Mooney and his family. Why am I saying the family?
And I'm gonna need people to. I need people to really start giving people their flowers while they're here, because everyone says all these amazing things about people once they're gone, and I just really want folks to do it while people are here.
We heard this diatribe when DMX died. We don't need another one, Claudia.
Yeah, we do. But we do though. I think we do. I feel like everyone's so nice when someone's dead. They're not nice when people are alive. They're not.
I just want you to get on your soapbox. That's all.
I'm not, because we're moving on. Wednesday, Emmy award-winning actor Billy Porter revealed he's HIV positive, a secret that he kept for nearly 14 years. Now, the Post-star opened up to the Hollywood Reporter and said he lived in shame for years because of his religious upbringing. He told the magazine, HIV positive, where I come from, growing up in the Pentecostal church, I was in a very religious family, and they thought about it as God's punishment. Do you think Billy Porter's honesty will break the stigma and shame around HIV in the Black community? Or what do you feel about this? I mean, he's beloved, but to come out with this and to know, I had no idea he's been living with this for 14 years.
Well, I mean, no, I don't think anyone did. And at the end of the day, somebody's health status, whether it be asthma, HIV, or mesothelioma, is really nobody's business. But I do commend him. And to answer your question, I definitely do think that it will help lend itself to changing the stigma around HIV and AIDS, especially when you talk about somebody who is an Oscar away from an EGOT. You know, there's so many misconceptions that people with AIDS or HIV, they look away, or they're promiscuous, or they're poor, or they're on heroin, and so on and so forth. And this definitely lends itself to breaking that stigma. And it may also help other people join him. He's not the only one in Hollywood. He's not the only one in my apartment building. He ain't the only one in our families. You know, we come in contact with people who are HIV positive every single day of our lives. And I think that, you know, he was very right in terms of the stigma surrounding it, especially being his age, because people did treat you differently. I have a story I'll never forget. I had a cousin who in the 90s, you know, contracted the virus. And I'll never forget, him and his mom came to my house. He was in a wheelchair. He was in the last stages and he wanted some water. And I went and got him a glass of water. I was a preteen. And I'll never forget, my mom scolded me in the kitchen for giving him one of our real cups. And she was like, why didn't you give him a plastic cup? You know what I'm saying? And when they left, she threw the glass away. You know what I'm saying? And so it's reasons like that, the ignorance surrounding the virus, the misinformation, why people hold that type of information, because they see how people have been treated. And I commend Billy for doing that, because it's not easy in the world that we live in.
Thank you for sharing that story. I think it's important. I mean, what's mesothelioma exactly?
It's, I don't know what it is, but I know they got a class action lawsuit. You can call Morgan and Morgan and get you $20 million if you got it from the baby powder. Or I think the baby powder people, mesothelioma.
You guys are off the chain. I have to say, Claudia, that for me, I looked at his Hollywood Reporter interview, and if anybody who's at earmark of my voice, you guys really need to go online and look at that interview. It was really, really, really impactful and just heart-wrenching. We gotta understand that Billy Porter is a trailblazer in this space, using his platform to speak to something that it disproportionately affects our African-American community, okay? Just over 40% of every HIV person in the US is African-American, right? And more than 40% of new HIV infections that occur in the US are African-American. So someone like this using their platform to educate others is very empowering, and it's powerful to help us stay alive longer and also to help us bring those numbers down. The African-American community is suffering around this disease, and it's not only just affecting gay and bisexual men, it's also affecting heterosexual women. So kudos to Billy Porter for taking this step out on, you know, the limb with this, because that's very hard. And I just say kudos to him, and my hat is off to Billy Porter. I'm a fan now. I can't say that I was much of a fan before, but I can definitely tell you now that I rock with Billy Porter.
I'm not gonna lie. There was a time I was like, oh, he's so like, is it attention seeking? But right. You know what? This is the way you use the attention that's on you and the spotlight and then the momentum that you have to really make a difference. And I apologize for even thinking that for any even for a second. This is such an important step to make, because this is hard to be this brave right. and bold to put this out there 14 years in and at the height of his career. So Billy Porter, I respect you and I salute you. Hats off to you for doing this. And we appreciate you. So we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back with more TGIF when we return after this break. Welcome back to TGIF. All you people in the YouTube comments, I see you. Okay. Anyways, we've been looking forward to the show all week.
You need a Wendy's chili. Your ass is over there 3 sheets to the damn
wind. She needs some crackers.
Somebody get up. Get a soda water.
Somebody get a
soda water.
Claudia people.
You need some coffee or something.
I'm in Rhode Island. I haven't been out here in a while, and I'm just like so happy. Like, a lot of good things are happening right now. Anyways, let's get on to the show. Okay, Russell Simmons. We haven't heard about him in a while, ever since he fled the country and went to Bali. He's suing his ex-wife, Kamora Lee Simmons. He's accusing her of stealing his stock shares to pay her current husband's bail in a money laundering case. What do y'all think about this? And are you surprised that Russell's suing his ex-wife? And who knew that all this was going on? Did y'all know? So,
this is one of those situations where we definitely gonna need Al and his expertise from them 40 jobs he done had to break it down for us, because I'm not understanding, if they're his, how she has access to it. So I need some understanding on that part. And the second thing about it is, Kimora must be slipping on her pimping, because she normally mess with men who are coined. You know what I'm saying? Like, the men she mess with normally don't need her money, and damn sure don't need Russell. So, Al, explain to me how this is even possible.
Okay, I got you, Q. All right, guys, listen. And Q, you're right. She is always with someone who is coined. In fact, her husband right now is the chairman of Goldman Sachs in Asia, all right? Ooh. And so, unfortunately, though, he pled guilty to money laundering and foreign bribery, because he made $200 million in a development deal. Now, when he pled guilty, he paid back $43.7 million as part of the settlement, right? So the issue here is, in this particular case, you're right. There's no way she could have stole any stock from him or any stock options or anything from Russell. This is a poor play in PR, if you ask me. Number one, he just came off of the heel of not only a federal investigation domestically, but an international investigation. So as you know, everything that he does financially has to have every I dotted and every T crossed. I think Russell made a poor attempt of trying to bring this up to, like they said, and as you saw her lawyer commented, was a smear campaign against her and a smear campaign against her husband, because they're going through some issues, and obviously he is facing more time and more fines.
And really, Russell, I rock with Russell Simmons. Like, I think he's cool peoples, but she done been married to like 2 other people after him. So he had time to get stuff out of her name if there was any kind of like gray area. Like, why is she still able to access? There should have been a time where, okay, let's split our assets. This is your part, this is my part. You're the ex-wife from like 2 husbands ago. So why are you still able to even access his shares?
And I think what bothers me the most about the situation is that historically they have always had a very good public reputation of being very good co-parents. And considering the fact, like you said, two husbands down, and those girls are both teenagers, like late teenagers, I imagine. What in the hell could y'all honestly be at odds about at this point where he would be willing to hurt their mom publicly? Like, did the white man cuss Russell out at Thanksgiving and not invite him to the house? I mean, I'm not understanding because I swear Kimora's marriages used to be her, the husband, and Russell. Like, all three of them were married
Right.
together.
Well, in this particular
Wow.
case, they were. It's her present husband, Kimora, and Russell are part of this water deal. It was the three of them that probably did some type of position play, a large position play. Obviously, he said, a couple of million, right? Several million. So I think it is the tying of all of their assets and monies together. And she's always kind of brought him along and offered up opportunities because obviously they have kids together. And in this particular case, her new husband just is bad news. He's got caught for laundering money and bribery, and it's all going downhill. So I feel like what he's trying to do was a poor play, media play for me to separate himself, right? And it just didn't work out.
Speaking of not working out, let's talk about Future. You know what? Shout out to Lori Harvey because she's one of the few ladies in America that's got away from Future unscathed, unimpregnated. She hasn't missed a period. Supposedly Future dropped a little song, and he dropped a snippet of a new music he's doing with 42 Doug, and one of the tracks includes the words, "Tell Steve Harvey, I don't want her." What do you think about Future taking a jab at Lori Harvey now that she's moved on? She's with Michael B. Jordan. Is this just attention seeking, or what do you think about this? What do you
It's
think?
definitely attention seeking. It's lame as hell. And I think it lends itself to one of Future's biggest scarlet letters, which is the fact that he gets with somebody and then they move on and do bigger and better. And then the blogs and the media blow up how well said person is doing as a result of leaving Future. I think that hurts. I think when he lays his head down at night to his pillow and you see the tweets and the running joke, I mean, it hurts. And I think this is him lashing out, that Lori moved on to be better. And the thing about it, though, instead of lashing out, Future needs to take a page out of these men's book and figure out how he can better align himself with his character traits to be like the guys that these women are seeming to leave him for or move on to after they leave him.
What do you think about this? Because it seems like when they leave Future, if they don't get a baby, usually they do. But when they move on, they end up getting a guy that's like the total opposite. You know what I mean? Like a really clean cut guy that's not out there. I mean, Future, what is he on? Like 8, 9, 10 kids from several different women. He's not a young whippersnapper anymore. And listen, Future's an attractive guy. He's successful. But like to have so many women out here and then still be writing songs about your ex, it just kind of gives me immature a little
Well, I'm
bit.
gonna tell
Sorry.
you, I don't think this has anything to do with Lori Harvey, in my personal opinion. I think that that was directed specifically to Steve Harvey, because Steve Harvey has gone on interviews and have said that he questioned her relationship and the guys that his daughter messed with, i.e. Future. However, when asked about Michael B. Jordan in the same interview, he said he can't find anything wrong with this guy. In fact, he's better. Now, this is the deal for me. Future's worth $45 million. Michael B. Jordan may be the sexiest or whatever awarded man alive, but he's not worth anywhere close to $45 million. Future has 23 top 10 hits, 95 songs, and 9 number 1 hits. In
And
my
nine babies.
and 9 babies. But in my mind, that dig was to Steve Harvey because he's like, look, you can't compare me to Michael B. Jordan. I'm very successful. I'm wealthy. I'm at the top of the game in my industry, and I make a lot of money, and I'm worth a lot of money. And by the way, I don't want Lori at all. That's my opinion.
You know what? But listen, many athletes, and we've seen this happen time and time again, where they're at the top of the game, they got these $100 million dollar contracts, $80 million contracts, $50 million contracts, and they let being just not being careful and having all these different kids by different women. Listen, when the contracts and the songs ain't popping no more, you still got 16, 17, 15, 14, 13 more years of child support. So
Right,
I
but you know
just.
what? He's just like the athletes that you talked about. They are wealthy, young, black men at the top of their game. This is what you do when you have choices beyond on top of choices, hundreds on top of hundreds. You know, I mean, this is what happens, especially when you're having sex unprotected. I just feel like he's a rich, successful young artist, and this is a part of the lifestyle.
I'm just
And
saying, all this unprotected sex, there's got to be some broil on that peen.
whoever the hell future lawyers are or his financial people, they doing a damn good job of keeping him from having to pay them women a whole lot of money, because some of them say he don't even be paying, and then the other ones acting like they barely getting by.
Yeah. Like 2,500 a month.
Yeah.
Girl, I can show you to play craps and make more than that at the casinos. Anyways, before we go to break, real quick, the Puerto Rican princess Jocelyn Hernandez recently said that Wendy Williams tried to reach out to her after their heated exchange weeks ago, but Jocelyn says she's not here for it. Jocelyn says, I don't want to talk to that B word. Do you think this is a bad idea for Jocelyn to not make amends with Wendy Williams?
I think it's a horrible idea for Jocelyn to not make amends with Wendy Williams. Jocelyn has got to, she lets the moment overshadow what could be the possibility. She can't see the forest for the trees. I'll give y'all a little behind the scenes tea. I told y'all I filmed two shows for VH1 last week or whatever, and there was basically a directive to not speak about her. And the specials that I filmed were surrounding love and hip hop or whatever. And it's like, how do you have a love and hip hop conversation and not talk about Jocelyn Hernandez, one of the people who put that show on the doggone map? But it was suggested to me in a very subtle, roundabout way that, yeah, we're not to give her too much. You know what I'm saying? And it's funny because for what Jocelyn does, let's not pretend like there is just this overabundance of opportunities for her. You don't go from love and hip hop, girl. You're at Zeus, and I'm not shading Zeus because they're giving people a rebirth, and she's making good money over there. But once that is over, where's you gonna go? You know what I'm saying? And you foster this mentality or this reputation of being difficult to work with or unpredictable. You see what she did on Wendy Williams. Jocelyn cursed me out on live television once before, and I couldn't even say anything back to her because the directive I was given by Mona Scott Young at the time was, these people are unpredictable. We know you got some sense, and we're on live TV. So if things go left, can you please just not go left with it? So while she's sitting on TV cursing me out, I'm just sitting there taking it because, basically Mona asked me to. Jocelyn's got to stop this. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is she's getting positively rewarded for negative behavior. It's cute right now, but she needs to look at people like NeNe Leakes and some of the other people where they love you when they love you, but the very thing they love you for will be the very thing they use against you as a reason as to why they're not hiring you in the future. So I think Jocelyn needs to slow her roll just a little bit.
And Jocelyn is really funny, but she was supposed to be on this show too, but we couldn't let it happen. I mean, the unpredictableness of her nature, and I think like she's charismatic, she's beautiful, and she's actually funny. So if all you have to do is make a minor adjustment with how you deal with the media or just thinking of the big picture, make that adjustment so you have longevity. And you don't fall by the wayside of some of these other reality stars that thought they were bigger than the moment, bigger than the entertainment business, bigger than the shows that put them on, and then have nothing. You don't want to go from being here to here because there's so many people willing to go wild out and take your spot and forget about you by next season. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more TGIF after we come back. Hey guys, I'm back with more TGIF with my guys Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. But you know what? I gotta talk about this. Guys, because of the pandemic, I found something that is easy and will help you get your meals together, which we all need. A lot of people gain this COVID weight. It's called HelloFresh. Now, with HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and your mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. Now, you can skip the trip to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Now, the meals are ready in 20 minutes or less with the lightning prep recipes and quick breakfasts and lunches. Perfect for your busy schedules. Now, where else can you get over 25 recipes to choose from each week? From vegetarian meals to craft burgers, these recipes are designed and tested by professional chefs and nutritional experts to ensure it's simple, easy to make, and super delicious. I love to use HelloFresh on a Friday night after shooting TGIF because it's too late to go out and cook something from scratch, and they got it all laid out for us. Tonight, I'm making my fave, the firecracker meatballs with roasted green beans and some fantastic jasmine rice. It cooks in just 40 minutes and only has 780 calories. So that's a great meal, low calorie meal. So what are you waiting for? Go to HelloFresh.com/12T and use code 12T for 12 free meals, including shipping. We'll be right back. And I want to thank HelloFresh for sponsoring our episode of TGIF tonight. We'll see you back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to TGIF with my two favorite fellas I hang out with on a Friday night, Al Reynolds and Funky Dunever. Now, before we went to break, Al, you didn't really get a chance to say anything about the whole Jocelyn Hernandez comment story. And lots of y'all in the YouTube chat were had a lot to say. So, Al, what do you think about this?
Listen, regardless of her challenges with the English language, I really like Jocelyn Fernandez, to be honest with you. I think she's street smart. And she obviously is very successful. She's making a lot of money. Now, does everything always come out of her mouth right? I don't think so. But I think the intent that she had when she was on Wendy Williams was on mark. I feel like it was just the messenger and how she said it that really came across brass and, you know, unprofessional.
She should have said it to Wendy off air. She should have said it to Wendy off air. You don't show up on somebody else's platform in which you're being booked to help promote your show, in essence, to put more money in your pocket and scold them. That's just not how it works. And it's a fine example of when keeping it real goes wrong. Yes, you can keep it real, but you don't scold nobody on their show.
Well, you know, it's so interesting, Q. I agree with that. But think about Wendy Williams' career. She did the exact same thing when she was in her 20s. Jocelyn's in her 20s and she's feeling herself as an entertainer. And I feel like, you know, she came, it looked to me that she came to that show with an attitude.
First of all, she's not in her 20s. And this is the same thing that we do. We do this with Portia Williams and with Jocelyn. We make excuses for them and say, they're young, they're 20. She's like 30 something, closer to 40. Both of them are. And I feel like she's been around for a long enough time. She's got like 8, 9, 7 seasons on Love and Hip Hop. Like at this point, I get the first few years being green. I get the first few years like popping off at the mouth and saying stuff like that. But when you've got like this many years in the game, at some point, like you would think that there's been some kind of media training or some kind of like, listen, I know how you may feel about this woman personally, but this is the kind of black media that's going to help people promote, it's going to promote your show.
Right.
And again, I agree. Maybe taking Wendy to the side or having a conversation with her or saying that, listen, Wendy, I'm not feeling how you may have said X, Y, and Z about me, which, by the way, is not even true. Wendy consistently has shown love and has complimented Jocelyn. So I feel like she was trying to get a moment, and I don't know.
And it worked. I mean, we're
It
talking
did
about it
work.
now, and she set the internet, she set social media afire. So I'm not, you
Yeah.
know, condoning it obviously, but I do say, you
It
know.
did work, but you won't get another opportunity to create another moment. So that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you want a slow dime or a fast nickel? You know what I'm saying? And she chose the fast nickel.
And stop thinking about just Wendy. Like beyond Wendy, then there's Jimmy Fallon. There's a bunch of other shows you can get on that are watching all these other shows. And I did Wendy, and then I went over to Jimmy Fallon. And like you want to be able to elevate and go to all the shows so they can all promote your show. The object here is to get the most amount of eyeballs on your show on your network so you can just increase your paycheck. Anyways, moving on, Jocelyn. I think you're funny. I think you're beautiful actually, but like a little bit of media training because like. What are you fussing with talk show hosts for? Like, check her off camera and then move on. Okay, moving on. Issa Rae, this woman is doing her thing. She's admitted to there being tension between her and actress Lauren London in the past. Issa said that a TV executive who was interested in her show, Insecure, suggested that other women like Lauren London should play the lead role. Issa was not happy with their feedback, and that made Lauren uncomfortable. Issa said that Lauren's partner, the late Nipsey Hussle, got them to talk it out, and the women bonded over the issue. That's, you know what? Everybody that I know that knows Nipsey says nothing but amazing things about him and about how great of a soul this man was. So kudos to him for making the tap with him, with Lauren London and Issa Rae. Can you imagine Issa Rae? Can you imagine, I'm sorry, Lauren playing Issa's role on Insecure? And what do you
Absolutely
think?
not. Absolutely not. And
No?
I think that when it comes to this beef, that I'm glad they squashed it, but Lauren really needed to go sit her ass down somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Now I get it. The show blew up, and I think Lauren was looking at it like, dog, that could have been me, and she threw salt on my name, or she blocked me from getting the role. But if you really take an introspective look at yourself, Lauren, you were not right for this part. And Lauren says that her and Issa sat down and they spoke for 2 hours, and that, Lauren revealed that deep down inside she truly is an awkward black girl, and that's fine and well. But I tell people all the time, the truth never matters. It's about perception. Lauren London, you give head cheerleader, most popular girl that all the athletes and the quarterback is after. That's what you give. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's the truth or not about how you feel, you don't present as the awkward black girl. You're the pretty girl that's the head cheerleader that all the girls want to be like and all the athletes are chasing. That is what you give. You weren't right for the role. So it should have never been.
Now,
Go ahead.
I'll speak on this. I think this is amazing. This is a good thing to talk about. Like, I like to get away from the celebrities and just talk about the thing it's about. Like, the way you perceive yourself and how you think you're presenting to the world versus how people see you. Al, what do you think about this story?
I thought it was interesting because to me it was like a play on colorism, if I'm not mistaken. Like the TV executives thought that a fair-skinned woman should be playing in that role. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. If I created the show and I wrote the show like Issa Rae did, and I wanted to be the lead of the show, I'm gonna cast myself as the lead of the show. I don't care if it's Lauren London or Oprah Winfrey. I mean, that's just what it is, in my opinion. So that's kind of how I feel about this particular topic. I think this is more about Hollywood changing the narrative around leading women. And in the past, in order to sell in the box office, it always needed to be a light-skinned leading woman. Kudos to Issa Rae for being a dark-skinned writer, a dark-skinned producer, a dark-skinned leading woman, and doing an awesome job.
Why is this still a thing, you guys? And
I
this is
was
off
just about
script.
to ask
Why
that.
is it still with the okay, even if you're extremely disgustingly ignorant, the past year with the uprisings, the protests, the George Floyd, the Black Lives Matter, the people embracing their African roots after prior in prior years making fun of things, right? All things African, people finally embracing things proudly. Why is it still a thing? Are they not, they're still not reading the room that we want? Even light-skinned folks, like they're just like, we still want to see black faces on our TVs. Why do they think that's the formula?
I think this is old white Hollywood executives projecting. I think that they're speaking to their subconscious bias about the palatable black person. I don't think people of color give a damn. I have never been in the room around a Latin, a black, or any other minority group where they've been like, I don't want to watch 227 because the lead person is dark skinned, or
Right.
I don't want to go to this movie because that black girl, like, I've never heard that before. It's never been a conversation. It's never been a thought. I don't know a one person in my sphere of influence who has not picked up a product or went and saw a movie or anything because of the color of the person's skin. So I don't know who this, the only thing I can fathom that this is an issue to is white people.
The problem is white people making television, making decisions for black people without a black person on the board, on the panel, in the production, in the positions of power, and making these silly moves that we see clearly right through. I think it's silly, right?
And that's why I commend people like Issa and Shonda for turning the industry on its head. You know, Shonda casting Viola Davis and Kerry Washington in like leading roles on like blockbuster series. Like mm-hmm. she did that. What she's doing over there with Bridgerton and the Black Queen, what Issa did with the Love movie, you know what I'm saying? And I think Issa's beautiful, but she's not the traditional beauty that we've come to see from Hollywood. And I love the fact that she's coming in with her awkward self, her non-traditional beauty, and saying, people who look like me can be leading actresses as well. We can carry shows. Dark-skinned black people can do love comedies, romantic comedies. I love how they are just challenging Hollywood with all these old, outdated, antiquated as norms, as well as challenging the black community. I can't wait. I was just about to say, I can't wait until we get a black Supernatural movie, but we did with Lovecraft Country. So I love what's going on in Hollywood right now with people like Issa, and we need more of it.
And they tried it. Like the disrespect, this woman created this, came up with a concept, started on YouTube and really built her show from the ground up. And a thing like skin tone is a thing you want to just like, well, we need a lighter part. This is, it's so dumb and so ridiculous. Al, you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I just feel like it's a process, right? You saw how long it took not only America, but you know, internationally to accept the Black Lives Matter movement, right? This is years and years and years and years and years of content being created this way. So like when you're a trailblazer, like he said, I mean, it's just great to watch. It's great to watch her change the narrative, to change the expectations and change the way Hollywood looks at all people of color, period.
I look at someone like her, I'm like, who cares? I don't even know, like, her skin tone is irrelevant. She's brilliant, she's funny, she's cute, she's adorable, she's likable, and she's talented. So knock it off with the bullshit. Anyways, before we go to break, real quick, we wanna just touch on the story real quick. Brazilian singer MC Kevin fell to his death from a hotel balcony after allegedly trying to hide from his wife following a threesome with a model. Did y'all hear about this story?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you think about this? Like he fell to his life, to his death, trying to avoid getting caught cheating.
I think he took the lesser of two evils. I think he knew he was going to die either way. So, you know, for you, you got to be mighty damn scared of your wife to think that you was going to turn into Spider-Man and jump out in them people hotel room and fall to your damn death. It's a cautionary tale to men out there. You shouldn't be going around cheating on your wives. And, you know, I just want to know, is she going to attend the film?
The what?
The film.
The what?
The film. Is she going to attend it?
You mean the prostitute that they hired?
The wife.
The funeral.
I want to know if the wife going to attend the funeral.
Of course she's going to attend the funeral. You read her message. I think that there's something more to this story than what they're reporting. So I actually did a little bit more research on this show. I mean, on this particular show topic. So the deal is, it's this MC Kevin and his best friend Victor decided that they wanted to have a threesome with this model. Okay. Now, allegedly, they go back to her, to a room that they rented to do the threesome, right, which is on the fifth floor. He and his wife stayed on the 11th floor. So my question is, how did the wife even know that he was on the fifth floor? And also, allegedly, she knocked on the door. Like, why do you just open the door and say that the girl was with the guy, the other guy, Victor? Why would you try to jump off of the balcony to go to a lower balcony to sneak away? I don't understand. The whole story just reeks of something. I smell a rat, and I'm not sure really what it is, but I think in the next couple of days, we're gonna really get to see what it's all about.
Did the model have a dick?
No, but what's interesting is they questioned the actual proposal of the three, and what was the three? What did the threesome actually entail?
Well, Darwin's law. Everybody ain't meant to make it, I guess. Survival of the fittest. We're gonna take a quick break before I get in any more trouble. We'll be back with more TGIF when we return. Welcome back to TGIF. Okay, before we go, a college graduate who happens to be a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated went viral after posting his graduation photo in a pink suit and black high heels. Now, the college graduate received immediate backlash for rocking a pair of heels while representing the historic fraternity. Do you think the man was out of line for wearing those heels? Are people overreacting? And our very own Justin Hart said, Kappas would never.
We're not gonna get on what the Kappas do. You know, I think I'm best qualified to speak about this. I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. In addition to my funky Dineva character, I've been gender norms all the time. I wear heels, dresses, makeup, and wigs and stuff, but there's a time and a place. This is completely wrong. It's inappropriate. I've been reading through a lot of the comments, and the people who don't seem to understand it are the people who are not Greek. When you sign up to be a part of a certain organization, there's just a certain uniform, a certain protocol, a certain way you're supposed to carry yourself when you are representing that organization. A lot of people who don't know about Greek life were saying things like, well, he wasn't at an alpha event. It does not matter. He was representing the organization. You signed up to be in these people's stuff, and you are to adhere to the standards that they set in order to be a member of their stuff. I go into deep detail about this on my YouTube channel if you want to hear more. But Al, as a Kappa, I'm curious to know what you think.
You know, I was just glad it wasn't one of my brothers that were caught in the hills. But, you know, I'm the reason why I'm chuckling is in my family, my brother is an alpha. So when I saw this, this was fuel for the fire, right? It was like I went in on him hard, like A5. But no, I agree with you 100% Q. And that is a part of the membership and being a part of that bond. It comes with a responsibility. And I think in this particular case, he exercised irresponsibility.
Well, fellas, we are out of time. Thank you so much. I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva. Thanks for watching us. You can catch us each week at a new time, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Stay tuned. The Tammy Mack Late Show is up next. But first, Foxhole's Deals is up next. We will see you next time. Bye, fellas.
Bye.